Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I almost forgot what I was doing here. That's nothing new. Happy New Year! And what caught me was because he did the countdown, and I'm thinking, New Year! Hooray!
She's ready to throw streamers.
And I'm me being like this. I'm being completely me. I'm Julia. And this is normal for me. And Tracy Mahan.
Hello, everyone.
We have a special guest tonight, and we'll bring her on in just a second. But Tracy, first of all, yesterday, can I announce that?
Sure.
Yesterday was Tracy's birthday, so she's a New Year baby.
I am a New Year baby, yes. Happy New Year, happy birthday. It just gets happy. Real happy.
Absolutely. That's what we said in the beginning. I wanted to kind of repeat that. It was Happy New Year. Happy birthday. Happy, 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 happy. So,
everybody was in it. Everybody was getting happy. Mm-hmm. So no better way to raise your frequency than just get happy. So that's a song, right?
Let be happy, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. Sing it. Maybe we'll figure it out.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Okay. Thank you.
Da, 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 da.
If that didn't bring everybody up, I don't know what would. Except for when it gets out on video, that's going to bring everybody up a notch.
Laughing. I don't mind being the subject that you laugh at. Just go ahead, laugh at me. As long as it's bringing your frequency up.
So, you know, we have this theme where we kind of talk about random stuff. Mm-hmm. Before we kind of really get into it. And we're going to make it quick because we have a fantastic show. Yeah. Yes. But can you tell people about your camel?
Oh, my gosh. No. I love my camel. Okay, I was in Egypt. I just got back from Egypt. And when I was there, I met up with an old, old friend of mine. I mean, like, ancient friend. One of my many sessions that I had with my mother, I had a camel. I showed up in the desert and I had a long robe on and I was holding on to, I had a camel like right over here, over my right shoulder. And that guy was my best friend. I mean, I loved that camel. I remember that from the session, you mm-hmm. know, and I was walking in front of him. I would just always be kind of, we were just best friends. Anyway, in Egypt, we were doing some filming for some different things, you know, just promos and just different information videos that we're doing. And off in the, not too far away, there was this guy with two camels. And this one camel just, there was something about him. And I was like, he needs to be in this shot. And I just felt this connection to him immediately. And he was like, he was talking to me, like, I want to be there with you. I want to be in that shot. So brought him over and I got the whole visual. They were showing me, hold him just like you held the one before. And when he came up to me, I recognized him. And it was like, it was so cool. So anyway, I'm holding him just like I was holding him in the other life. And it was an instant connection. We're talking and I said something about, you know, it's wonderful to be here with these wonderful beings. And that how I was connected to him and everything. And he leans down and he nudges my head. I mean, I couldn't.
Gives you a little camel kiss right on the top of the head in the video. Yeah.
Now, what was in that video that's out right now is right after that, he did kiss me.
Aww.
Yeah, it was, oh my gosh. And so that'll probably come out in another video. But instant connection, instant recognition, I think on both parts.
Yeah, it sounds like it was pretty mutual.
It was, my God. I know, isn't it adorable? I melt every time I see that. But that's my camel.
Yes, and that is just a glimpse of the experience people have on these trips. And, you know, so that was just something I wanted to bring out because we could share story after story of the connections. And, I mean, I've been hearing from a lot of people that were on that Egypt trip. And I swear I experienced these things through the osmosis version of it because I've gotten so many different stories and what has happened on these trips and people connecting and the energy. Oh, and I'm just saying
the energy.
Amazing.
I mean, I've been saying this about a lot of places, about all the places we've been going lately, and that will segue into our guest tonight.
Yes.
But the places we've been going to this year, about it being off the charts. And it's like, there's no describing what was going on in Egypt. In fact, it took me a full week at least before I started even feeling like I was, you know, after I got back and I'm trying to process and I was just gone. I mean, the things that were happening to us over there, I don't know what all happened. All I'm saying is I know I've been processing for a good week since I've been back, mm-hmm. you know, and it's constant. And I talked to Kaya today and he was talking about some things that are happening to him that are completely new. And it all started over there too. And wow. So these just keep opening up these doors, and it's probably because, you know, one, the places that they are, and then two, they're telling me, yeah, you know it.
You know
it. The doors that it's opening are doors that were started way back. Mm-hmm. And then this is completion stuff. You know, we're finishing or we're continuing. That's a better word. Continuing what we started many, many generations, eons, whatever you want to call
lifetimes,
it.
Lifetimes. Yeah, I love it.
Lifetimes ago. I mean, and oh my gosh, it's just amazing.
Well, I have a feeling we know what we're doing our next show on.
yeah, we've got to. Mm-hmm.
Let's bring on our guest. Let's not make anybody wait any longer.
Absolutely. And and this is it's a segue for our guest, because I actually got wonderful information from her. A little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. She actually did, but I think it's astrocartography. Am I right, Tamara?
You're right, yes.
Okay. And that's where, I mean, she did this wonderful chart for me, and then she puts it on the map of the earth. And it's like, and shows like where are good places to go energetically and for different things. And she'll explain that better probably, but she did that for me and for Kaya, and kind of overlaid them to find the best places that would be really good for us to be going to do things. And that's a big part of what we use in our deciding and stuff, is
that's
we know
wonderful.
We want places, but then we look and it's like, okay, was this a, I mean, it's just funny because the places we want to go are good places that were on our charts.
So you're naturally drawn to it. It's
absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so, it's been one of, like I said, each one is like it stacks on the other one, and we're getting growth. We're getting things that we never even imagined possible for us personally, as well as for QHHT. So anyway, without further ado, so it's like, I just want you to know that I can personally vouch for Tamara. Okay.
Yeah. Wonderful. I've had
you.
A brief session with her too, and I will do the same. Okay. Bring her on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I'm going to give you a little bit. I mean, this bio, it came off of Tamara's website. But I can guarantee you it's just like touching the tip of the iceberg of who she is and what she does, and just the magnificence of Tamara. So she's working in the field of astrology and a teacher of being yourself. I love that. Reiki master, a yoga, certified yoga, in RYT. I don't know what RYT is, but I'm just impressed that yoga and a practitioner of sound. So you're into sound healing, I guess, or just working with sound. We'll let her explain that in a second. But anyway, she's dedicated to connecting ancient wisdom. We were just talking about that. In the modern world, through teaching classes, speaking engagements, workshops, one-on-one consultations, and a weekly blog. As a lifelong learner and teacher, she opens up new perspectives for herself and others through her work. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I am just so thrilled and honored to bring on Tamara McIlvray. McIlvray, see, it's not. Don't make it weird like I just did it. McIlvray.
Make it weird.
I had to think about it. See, I went to the head and it messed it all up.
I do it every time. Yeah.
Professional astrologer and dear, dear friend. I love you, Tamara. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. This is the the perfect time to do an astrological outlook, you know, being the beginning of the year. And happy solar return for the person who just had the birthday. Wow.
Yeah, being
pretty
Tracy.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
So we call it a solar return because the sun has returned to its place of birth.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. And so what does that mean?
Well, like the sun rotates through each sign, and when it's your birthday, it actually returns right back to the spot that it was at by degree and by sign at your birth. So we call it a solar return. It happens every year.
Oh.
That okay.
Fancy. Yeah. I like that.
It does.
It's much a fancy name for happy birthday.
Yeah. That's nice. I'll take it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. So Tamara, before we get into some of your projections and your, what you know, things going on for 2020 and just other information that you want to share, I always want to know how people got to where they are, how they got into this, because this is not your everyday career, everyday thing. And so were you always into astrology and metaphysics and such weird things?
Yes. Well, yes, I think I was born this way because I am a little far out there. But I started very young, you know, like everybody else, looking at their little horoscopes. And, you know, I did a lot of metaphysical work when I was younger. And just grew and grew with that. And then I actually went to Kepler College when it was a degree-granting college. And I did a four-year stint there. And now I teach at Kepler College. So I do some teaching there, and I help on their board of directors and all that. But my true love is more than astrology. It's incorporating astrology into our everyday lives. And I love you guys talking about, you know, really increasing your energy, taking your energy to new heights, because that's how I use astrology. I talk about it as being skilled and unskilled behavior and how we can incorporate those skilled and unskilled energies, you know, into take it to the next level and be our best person, you know, and use it as that kind of tool. So as you were saying, I actually do energy work. I do some Reiki, I do some sound work with sound bowls and meditation and mantras and all that kind of fun stuff. So I kind of have my fingers in a lot of different things, but astrology is definitely one of my first loves, for sure.
Very cool. But yeah, you're heavily into astrology. So
I am. A little obsessed, yes.
I mean, you're not just playing on the periphery.
It sounded like a dabbling, but yes, let's put it on the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a little obsessed, yeah.
Yeah, because that was what I was thinking about it just a while ago, about like when you did my chart and you're talking about the nodes and, you know, the north node and the south node and this node here, and it's like, I don't even know what a node is.
Yeah, much I don't love. Know what you're talking about.
And exactly, you know, we have north and south and all these things, but apparently they are very important.
They are. Actually, you know what we do in astrology is we take a snapshot of a moment in time, and we take a snapshot of the sky and where all the planets are and what sign they're in and what degree they're in, and we do a bunch of mad math, and we take that 3D or 4D picture and we put it on a 2D piece of paper, just a piece of flat paper, and it's a really symbolic process. So it's this process of as above, so below. It's very cyclic, as you know. You're talking about, you know, ancient cycles and your wonderful story of the camel. And then, you know, you've come back. This is a new cycle where, you know, the two of you are at two different levels, but yet you still connect with that cycle of being together. And that's kind of what we do with astrology. We look at it symbolically. There's like 5,000 years or more of written observation. And we take that observation and we apply it to modern times, and we try to interpret it in a way that people can, you know, live their best life and live in a skilled way as opposed to living in fear.
Did you say there was 5,000 years of history of astrology?
Written observation, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yes, fascinating. And that's why I'm a little obsessed. You know, you get into that and you're like, that's a deep dive when you go there.
So that way you appeal to the scientific minded people that want all that
background,
to the proof back there.
Yeah, I love
everybody. I love what you said about not living in fear. And so is that, I mean, like that's my, I feel like that's one of my missions on this planet is to dispel fear, get people to, you know, to understand not to go there. It's not necessary. It's just an entertainment tool and, you know, and one that we get lost in a lot. But I love that from what it sounds like, from what you're saying with astrology is what I'm seeing anyway, it lights the path. So that way you can see further ahead of you, which helps dispel fear, you know, because it's usually it's the darkness, it's the unknown that we fear, that we're what makes us afraid. We don't know what's coming. And so this kind of helps give some little guidance. I mean, how much guidance can you get through astrology?
Well, actually, it's pretty in depth. You can use it as a tool for self-realization, you know, to look within yourself and look at the tools that you brought in to deal with your life and how you can move forward, you know, in a positive, skillful way. And also you can use it as a predictive technique. So what we do when we look at, you know, what's going on in 2020, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. Oh, my gosh, like if you go on and you Google astrology 2020, there's thousands of people with thousands of ideas on what's up and coming. So what they're doing is they're using it as a predictive technique to look at upcoming planetary configurations, the night sky, you know, what's upcoming, but they're really making a best guess. So when you're reading that information, it's not verbatim, it's not set in stone, and also you have to realize that there's a skilled and unskilled level of receiving that information. So they're using this best guess on the planetary combinations. We hope that they're using a little bit of historical data when they're making those best guesses, you know, a little bit of the 5,000 years of observation. But through that, able to say that, you know what, this is a cycle. So don't, you know, this too will end. You know, the next cycle will come and the next cycle will come. And we have all of these wonderful, beautiful cycles embedded in who we are as human beings, you know, from, you know, the cycle of weather, the cycle of government, the cycle of human development. So it's all cycles. And if you start to understand that and you can start to apply that to your own cycles, then you become more wise, more skilled, and you can walk into those upcoming events without fear, you know, without going, oh my God, you know, the world's going to end, you know, because that's what happens, you know, when we get scared, when we read, oh my God, what does, you know, sometimes I have students and they'll Google something and they don't even look at what they Googled or who, you know, wrote it. And all of a sudden now they're in turmoil for a week until I can calm them down and readjust their thinking.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. Thank you for that. Really helps put a really good perspective on
So, Tamara, when is the end of the world? No. I'm just kidding.
I was going to ask you a different way. Because you brought it up. And so, not that we want, because I don't know that there is an end. but absolutely. If there were going to be one, would it be displayed? Would the stars say that? Would there be something there that would indicate that?
No.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Therefore,
not.
No one can
so
predict
somebody
the
says,
end.
No, we cannot predict the end. Absolutely not. And, you know, some planetary movements that are going on, you know, we each have our snapshot signature that we come in with that, you know, explains or gives us symbolic reference to how we love, how we communicate, how we organize ourselves. How we action things. And then, of course, you know, that snapshot gets experiences through the today's movement of the stars. So sometimes the movement of the stars hit directly on your personal birth, you know, configuration. So then that energy is like really amplified for you. And then other times it manifests through the environment. So from people around you, maybe your partner, you experience it kind of indirectly through economic conditions, or the country that you're living in may have some conditions that that are amplified. So there's many ways that we experience it, and you know, we really can't fear that. It's, you know, you have to hold that higher level of energy, that skilled way of receiving, and then, you know, and then kick it really hard, you know, like really use that information to be the best you. That's what I love to do with astrology, and I think that's what keeps me, you know, really embedded in astrology.
Wow. And then this is one of the things I love about you, Tamara, is your groundedness, because it could be so easy in this field, in this world, to get really flighty, you know, and I think that's kind of what people are known for, being out there. I mean, you say you're out there, but you're grounded.
Yeah. I'm grounded out there.
Grounded out there.
If that's possible.
You're rooted in that fairy tale land that you're in. Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, so, because this time is going to go really fast.
Oh, yes, it is, actually.
I know that there's something, I read something online about this, I guess this period, like right coming up here, there's something supposed to be going on. But otherwise, what is it you really want people to know about? You know, how do you want to present this? The table's yours.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I thought about this. I thought about, you know, how can we explain this cyclic process? And 2020 is actually, as we know, the beginning of a new decade. And I think why we really love the new year, why we love to celebrate this new year, is because it's like turning a new page. So it's like a symbolic turning of a new page. It's the New Year's Eve. You're embarking on, oh, what might come up tomorrow? I think that it's an opportunity to right the ship. You know, like we've got all this baggage, this heavy weight that we carried all year. And this 2019 has seemed to be quite a heavy year for a lot of people. So, you know, I think that's because of this turning a new page of a decade, not just a year. So symbolically, you let go of these old processes, you sweep away the old, you do that in order to be able to embrace new. Now, again, I want you to remember that everything is cyclic. So when you hear this, like we've got this really heavy astrological combination coming up. And it's actually a process that only happens once every 33 years. So we can go back through history and we can see what kind of things have come out of this type of conjunction, we call it, when the planets come together.
I can do my math.
Or seven. When was 33 years ago? Is that 77?
Well, no, it was actually the last time this specific, what's that? 87, yeah.
87. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. My math.
So, or 80, no, I'm sorry, 82. So the last time we had this particular conjunction was 82, 47, and 14. You know, different months making the 33-year cycle kind of coming to fruition. But the whole process, it means that we've lived through it before. That's the first thing I want to tell everybody. The world didn't end. We actually did live through this before. And we did okay. You know, we reinvented ourselves. We turned the new page. And, you know, on a collective level, you know, it's hard to change. Think about that. You know, when we're asked to make a change, we struggle with that. And that's why it seems so heavy and why, you know, people talk about sort of the doom and gloom of it. It's because it's hard to change. But if we take this as, hey, we can turn a new page, we can right the ship, we can put things in place to make our life better and embrace the change, then, you know, things are not so doom and gloom. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the upcoming trend, And it's kind of a double whammy, and this is why people talk about it being so extreme this year, is that on January 10th, we actually have a lunar eclipse. So we had a solar eclipse at Christmas on the 25th, and now our first eclipse of the year is going to be January 10th. And then just a couple days later, we actually experience this big conjunction of these two heavy hitters in our astrology called Saturn and Pluto. So they're going to have a little meeting of the minds, and it's all within this kind of, there's like the sun is there, so the giver of life and, you know, how we express ourselves, and Saturn is about organization and, creating boundaries. He can also be about fear. So that's kind of the fear factor that has come in, because if, you know, what is fear? Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's manifestation. So it's your perspective, how you look at things and how you see them sort of solidified. So these two really powerful events, a lunar eclipse, which is a full moon, by the way, that's a full moon that just has this special connection with the Earth. We have eclipses a few times a year, and they kind of set the stage for the whole year. So they give us this sort of a bigger insight into larger, more long-term goals. You know, we have a new and a full moon every month. So those are our little glimpses into our everyday goals that we're setting that, you know, kind of work towards those bigger goals. And then these eclipses show us the bigger goals and how are we achieving them and what are we doing? Well, a lunar eclipse, a full moon, is when the whole sky lights up. So we actually get some insight into those goals that we're working on. When we're looking at the full moon, we're saying, ooh, what's in that dark corner? How come I haven't achieved that goal? And then, of course, the gratitude of all the goals that you've achieved. So these are some things that you want to do during eclipse. You want to take a moment and you want to do a little bit of gratitude. You want to take a hard look at what has not been accomplished and why, and sort of reflect on what, you know, what ideas and goals do you really want to accomplish this year. So that's what I do during an eclipse. I actually take the time to do some journaling and kind of look at symbolically, you know, because we always get those sort of synchronistic moments and little tidbits of information coming through on those goals that we're trying to accomplish. So this is what we can use this time for. And there's some other things that are coming up during this time period as well, during this eclipse. This kind of gives us a little shake. It's like, you know, come on, get rid of those outworn goals. Troubleshoot what you
I like.
You
how you said a little shake, but in my head, I felt like shake. I got really pummeled.
Just a little tiny shake, not a hard shake. Just a little tiny shake, so that we can say, "Hey, you know, what do I need to do here? What innovative ways can I reinvigorate those goals?" Which is like so apropos for the first of the year. Because, you know, we made all of these resolutions. I resolve to do this. I resolve to do that. I'm going to, you know, get my body in shape. I'm going to get to that next level. I'm going to infuse my life with this. So we have all these wonderful goals we set at the beginning of the year. Now, you know, 10 days in, we have this beautiful eclipse happening that's going to light the sky up. And we're going to say, well, if I want to achieve that goal, what do I need to do? I need to find an innovative way to get me to exercise every day, or to eat right, or to, you know, to do those things you need to do. So I think that that it's a really great time to kind of look at those things. Now, you also want to revisit those goals in 90 days. I just want to throw out an idea to you guys. April 5th is going to be 90 days from the eclipse, and I want you to revisit your notes. So all the notes that you've made about a little sort of synchronistic moments and the goal thoughts that you had, take that 90-day mark and go, okay, where am I? Where am I at here? So that's what you're going to do with the eclipse. And then, like I said, just 2 days after that eclipse, we have that great Pluto-Saturn conjunction that everybody is writing about, absolutely everybody. So I'm just going to break that down. Pluto, because everybody talks about Pluto, Pluto, especially astrologers, you know, that, it's going to, you know, really give us some, you know, hard transformation. But what is transformation? Pluto is about sort of collective control and power, and it's the act of change. But what is the act of change? I love to describe this process as when he is a caterpillar, that's right. When the caterpillar puts himself into the cocoon and he completely melts himself down into this like soupy mix. And then mm-hmm. he doesn't have any ego about what he's going to look like. You know, he doesn't say, oh, I got to look like this, or I still want to look like the caterpillar I was, you know, because I was so fluffy and cute. He's like, no, I'm going to let this process just come about as it's supposed to. I'm going to let myself ride the wave. I'm going to rebuild myself into this incredible better being. And I'm not going to have an ego about it. And that's the trick to the Pluto deal is, that you just allow what is going to be, but, you know, of course, on a higher level. You're not going to be fearful about it. You're just going to allow yourself to change into this beautiful, beautiful butterfly. And it's having this meeting.
When you say it, sounds easy, but...
What's that?
I'm saying when you say it like that, it sounds easy, but... yeah, it's like, well, and when I'm hearing, you know, you said no ego about it, but it also sounds like no attachment to the outcome.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because ego wants to control the outcome. Mm-hmm. I want it to look like this. You know, the little ego, right? Not the big ego, the little ego. So
that's a purity factor.
yeah, there is a, for sure. But if you think...
we don't want to come out that little mothy looking thing. We want to come out the beautiful butterfly, right?
Well, you know, everything.
All right, letting go of the attachment.
In its own way.
I've already started. Dang it.
So he's going to have this executive meeting with Saturn. And I don't know if you guys know that word, like if you've heard that word Saturn, that big planet out there. We've got those really massive rings. And he's about structure, manifestation. If we're going to manifest something, it's going to come from Saturn. Judgment, organization. Of course, I talked about fear and restriction and suppression, but, you know, only when restriction is sort of applied to fear. You know, if you really have control, the only person you have control over is yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So once you kind of get that, and it's like your reaction to things. It's like how you control your own reaction, how you control your own growth. If you can do that, then, you know, you don't really have that restriction and suppression because, you know, you just have so many other tools that you can work with that. So these guys are in this executive meeting and they are, you know, creating an opportunity for us to really get control over the things that we manifest. Now, of course, you know, the Pluto end of it, you know, I said, oh, you've got to let go and just allow it to be. Yes, you do have to allow it to be, but not in a wild and crazy way. It's, you know, the structure of the universe, the structure of how we manifest things, you know, using magical intent, which is really intent and focus, to do things is really the way to think about this. So the one thing that I want everyone to get from today's talk is to look at having control of false money. So we've heard a lot probably from the general astrology populace that, you know, that money may be an issue, that, you know, that we may feel a shortage of money. But really what I want us to think about is false money. And what is false money? It's credit cards. It's loans. Mm-hmm. It's debt. Mm-hmm. It's spending our paycheck before we make it, right? So mm-hmm. what I want us to think about, because this is the opportunity that's coming up. This is the the what these two guys are coming together to show us and teach us is that if you live outside of false money, if you live in sort of like that realistic day-to-day, I've earned this much, this is what I'm going to spend, I'm not going to get caught up in, you know, because the credit card people, they just keep sending you more credit, right? And mm-hmm. they'll, oh, yeah, let me give you that loan. And, oh, yeah, here's another type of credit card, and here's another type of way to spend money. I want you to think about mm-hmm. that you can actually have the opportunity to change and organize and manifest your money, which is, of course, what is money but the crystallization and the densest aspect of energy. So mm-hmm. if you can get control of that, think of how powerful you become. If you're not sort of using false money and getting carried away with that, when things do, you know, if things do tighten up or, you know, there's changes in how we do things as a community and as a country, then you won't have that fear factor because you haven't gotten yourself, you know, out of that, out of control with false money. So the one thing I want you to remember is to look at false money, look at your false money personally, and see where can you make little changes? Where can you tighten up a little bit? Where can you be organized so that you don't fall into that big fear factor if things need to tighten up a little bit, if you need to tighten up your belt. Now, of course, the change, the ability to organize and manifest for each of us may be a little different because it depends on our own makeup. You know, what snapshot of the sky do we have that we're working with? So each person will have something different. It might not be money. It might be, the home. It might be work. It might be in our partnerships and how we can create change and become more organized and more present in the moment as mm-hmm. opposed to, because false money is using money that's of tomorrow or money, you know, that you made yesterday that you're now sort of riding the coattails of or something like that. So it's really becoming present and aware of what you're doing right now and being really good with that, feeling really good about that. So sort of streamlining, sweeping out the dark corners, you know, I talked about that wonderful full moon that we have, and not getting caught up in those sort of extremes that we're being asked to, you know, that people are trying to sweep us away into these big, huge extremes of more credit, more, you can have a bigger house, you can have this, you can have that. And it doesn't mean that we can't have all those things, but we want to have them in the moment, not, you know, not tomorrow, not on tomorrow's dime or not on yesterday's dime, on today's dime. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. So are you saying that's already started or that's coming with this January 10th or 12th thing?
Yeah, so that's, I mean, obviously, you know, when you're looking at the sky, there's no kind of line in the sky. So you kind of get that energy that leads up to it. And then, of course, it doesn't happen on that day, that there just might be some real trigger or even just you becoming very aware, kind of like awakened to, I spent too much at Christmas or I spent too much last year and it didn't feel good, you know? And now I'm
going to
say,
that's called going
okay.
to the mailbox.
Yeah,
oh, no. Right. I do.
That, oh, geez, did I spend that? Yeah, for sure. So it, you know, and then it just leads us into these events. Because this dance in the sky that these guys are going to do is actually going to last all year. It's not like a one-time event. Yes, there is an event where they come together and, you know, and then there's like all this symbolic information and wisdom we gain from that. And other planets kind of come and meet in there and move away and drop information and we become more wise with that. But it is a dance that's going to happen all year. So as we become more conscious of this, then we, you know, feel like we have more control, you know, over it. But remember that we can't control others. The only thing we can control is ourselves. So that's the big, that's that big dance that's going on. And I want everyone to not be, you know, really afraid of that coming up, I think that it's something that that we can walk into, you know, wide awake.
Yeah, and if people are aware that this is what we were talking about earlier, you get these little hints that this is coming up, then when you're more prepared. I mean, I'm always that way with Mercury retrograde. When I know Mercury retrograde's coming, it's like, okay, I know to say things twice and really enunciate and to double check, triple check. We're all going to the same location, the same, you know, meeting at the same time, whatever it is, just to make sure communication is good. And it helps because I know it's Mercury retrograde. So this is kind of the same thing, I think, as you know this is coming. You know there's this money thing that might need to be looked at. And so when it shows up, then we're not taken off guard. So I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it may be just in, it may not be, you know, physical money for you. It may be that you apply that to your partnerships, that you've just become more aware and grounded, and that you're not, you know, working in relationships that are not real, you know, that are not authentic. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that this is going to bring to us collectively is authenticity. We talk about that word, you know, we throw authenticity around like it's water, but what does it really mean to be authentic? You know, it really, what does it mean to be really centered and aware and awake and living in the now? These are words we love to throw out, but how do we do that? This is opportunity where you really feel that grounding energy that you can sit down and you can journal about it and you can think, how can I set goals? How can I achieve goals that, you know, are really true to me? This is the way to do it. Yeah. And speaking of retrograde,
I shouldn't have brought that up.
Well, you know, it's much better to know they're up and coming, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So I thought that, you know, not everybody knows what a retrograde is. So I thought I might talk a little bit about that. So, you know, these planets, they move direct. They move, you know, through the kind of, some are slow, some are fast. They're moving through the zodiac and they're taking on, a planet has an essential nature. And when he moves through these signs, sometimes he can act more of his essential nature, and sometimes he struggles to be his essential nature because the sign he's in, you know, is really, it's a hard script for him to work with. And when they get into these retrogrades, a retrograde is an inner spiral of energy. So, and as opposed to being direct and moving boom, boom, boom through, expressing themselves, they become inward. And it's about the reword. So retrograde is redo, rethink, reinvestigate, reevaluate before you move forward with something new. So a retrograde is a really, really great time. First of all, check the fine print before you sign anything, right? Just like you said, you got to make sure, do you understand what I'm saying? Almost get feedback on a constant basis. Buying something used during a retrograde is really fantastic because something that someone else had and has now become new to you, but, you know, you're reusing something. So that's wonderful. Wait for clarity during a retrograde. We have three retrogrades every year for Mercury. I will throw the dates out just so people can be aware. February 16th to March 9th, June 17th to July 12th, and October 13th to November 3rd. So those are our three retrogrades this year. And, you know, Mercury is about our thinking process, our communication, our commerce, our transportation, short trips, that kind of thing. Number one thing that you want to do during a retrograde is back up all your computers and your phone and data. So before February 16th, you know, make sure you back up all of your stuff. And then if something happens, it's like, oh, that's okay. I can rebuild that. It's all right.
Right.
You know, schedule.
So, Tamara, I'm over here watching Julia react. And I have a feeling you just listed off all of her classes for the upcoming year.
That's exactly right. Well, there are definitely big classes happening in each of those dates.
Excellent.
Well, put her mind at peace with how wonderful that's going to be for her.
Yes. Well, the thing is now she knows. So she's going to arrange things ahead of time and not on the fly. You know,
very
that's
good.
The deal.
Yeah. Yeah. But like you said, you know, about you the communication, that's always so much fun to do a class in a retrograde.
Yes. But you know, that inner spiral of energy, what a great class when, you know, because really that's what you're doing. You're digging into this inner spiral and, you know, to be able to access that. It's just the travel and the communication and that kind of thing that you're going to have to make sure that you kind of double check, dot your I's, you know, cross your T's, make sure you're prepared, back up all of your data. But other than that, you know, for a class that you do, it's really a great time to do that. And that's probably why you've intuitively picked those dates.
See?
Okay. So
there's a rainbow at the end of this.
Do it. Yeah.
There's a rainbow. There's the rainbow. Yes. And you know, it's a great time to take a break from Facebook and Instagram. It's a great time to go through old emails and get rid of old emails, clean up your computer files, you know, that kind of thing. Get yourself off of the list. You know, we get 1,000 emails, you know, and it's like you just delete. You didn't even read what it was. Mm-hmm. So maybe you need to get off those lists. It's a great time to kind of look at that. Are there apps you're paying for but not using? This is a perfect time to sit down and kind of go through those apps and make sure that you know, that again, that you're spending your money wisely, that you're doing with that dense energy what you should be doing with it, and that is bringing harmony and love and peace into your life, drawing the things towards yourself that you love, that make your life better and make your family's life better, not footing it off to credit card companies and apps that you don't use, I guess, would be a good way to look at that. So take those retrogrades to do that. There's another retrograde. We have two other retrogrades coming up that are really major this year that we don't always have these every year, these other two. So the first one is a Venus retrograde, and it's from May 13th to June 25th. And Venus is exactly what I was just talking about. It's about how you create or attract or value harmony. And what is harmony? Bringing harmony into your life is about love. It's having your voice heard and speaking in a way that others can hear you and receive your information. It's about beauty. It's about art. It's what you want to purchase in order to surround yourself with harmony. You know, everybody's idea of harmony is different. Some people it's partnerships. Other people it's art. Other people, you know, everybody values different things. So it's about, you take that retrograde, that inner spiral, and you really think about what it is that you want to draw towards yourself. And are you drawing towards yourself skilled things? It's actually Venus retrograde in Gemini, which is a very intellectual sign. So it's about, you know, in that retrograde, sitting down and gathering information, writing down a plan where you're going to work on creating harmony within, and then share it with others. And the last retrograde, the last thing I need to get out before we, because I know we're coming to the end here of the show, is the Mars retrograde, which we only have every couple of years. We have a Mars retrograde, and that's from September 9th to November 13th, and it's in Aries. And an unskilled Mars might be, you know, getting angry or being resentment or having this, like, gut reaction, but the skilled behavior in a Mars retrograde, in that inner spiral, is reviewing the situation before you act, finding resolution before you act, and planning your actions before you act, and think about what you can, what you can go out and get in the world and bring back to you in order to create harmony and beauty in your world. So those are some things that I want you guys to know, those dates, so that you can be prepared and use them to their highest level and be skilled and enjoy all of this energy that, you know, that cycles through every year.
Wonderful.
So those were the major things I wanted to get out. So maybe some questions, if you have any questions about that.
My brain is blown. my mind. So, oh my gosh, all the information you just laid on us here.
Yeah,
well,
you did
I knew
it
I
so
only had a little bit of time,
we
but
just
I needed
got our
to get
minds
all that out.
And a perfect map of how to navigate this year.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I wanted to just ask, because I think a lot of people don't understand that. So like a full moon energy, whatever the date the full moon lands on, people are like, oh, this day, and they go right to that day. So if it was today, January 3rd, but one of the things you were saying is that the energy builds up, builds up. So we're in that energy a day or two before we actually get to the full moon energy, right? We have
absolutely
a little shadow time
absolutely
between the days.
And after.
So, yeah.
So nothing happens on the date. So you don't want to depend on, oh, well, I don't have to do anything until that date, because then you'll be hit with, well, why do I feel like this? Why do I have all this energy hitting me and feeling this buildup? So, it's there is no line in the sky. You're just kind of drawing into, and it builds. And then you have, you know, some maybe a little bit of clarity and some insight. And then, you know, then it wanes and it goes, you know, kind of draws away from you. And that energy, you know, kind of takes place in your life. And when you have the big eclipses, it's a little longer, right? Like we're already in, here we are, the third. We're already building to that the tenth, where that eclipse will happen. But we're in it now, and, you know, we have been for a little bit.
I was going to say, because the things that you were talking about happening, I feel like I'm already having impulses to do, and the energies are already starting to build there. So I wonder how much ahead it starts coming in.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, an eclipse can be, you know, you think about we're having three eclipses this year. So three eclipse seasons, we'll call them, because you have a solar eclipse, which is the sun. It's a new moon, right, a sun moon. And then the lunar eclipse, which is, so the solar eclipse is more external when you take things out into the world. It's a new moon, new ideas, new strategies. And then the lunar eclipse is the full moon, and that's more about reflecting on goals and reflecting on things and you know, what direction do I need to go in order to achieve things. So those are bigger, bigger events. They last longer, you know, they're going to last months, as opposed to a new and full moon, which is just, you know, the one month and just a few days. So these eclipses, they can take, you know, a whole 3 weeks or a month as they lead into them, and one builds off the other. So as astrologers, we sort of track, you know, these eclipses as they move through and how they join in together and how they build over the year, for sure.
Fantastic. Well, that's perfect explanation on that. That is wonderful. Tamara, we have like 1 minute.
I know.
How can people find you if they want to get with you, have more information, whatever,
sure,
if they want to pick your brain? Because I know, like I said, we've just barely touched the tip of the iceberg of what you know and who you are.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I actually, if they want to email me, they can email me at astro@tamara.ca. So A-S-T-R-O at Tamara, TAMIRA.ca. And I have a little like sheet that I kind of built up here that I can send out to them, so that, you know, if they missed a date or something and they're like, oh, what did she say? I can send that out, and it has a little bit of information on it. I don't mind doing that. And of course, they can go to my website, navigatingthestars.ca. And there's, you know, we do personal work. We do, I do have a group of girls that I work with that, you know, that work as a team. Or if they want to see me personally, they can also request a personal consult with me as well. So that would be wonderful. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well,
that was an amazing show. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you again so much for being with us, Tamara. I would love to have you back.
Thank you for asking. Anytime. I'll come back anytime. That would be wonderful.
Oh, Wonderful.
I'm well, starting to see a regular. No.
Anyway, everyone, we love you and happy new year. So glad to be back on this first Friday after in the new year. So
first show.
Yeah, absolutely. First show of the year. And I am so excited with this information on board now.
Now, we brought up all the classes that are coming up in the Mercury retrogrades. How do they get signed up for those, Julia?
Yeah, go to qhhtofficial.com and you can find our whole list of classes. We're still developing them out, but we're all over the world again in our noted spots that are recommended to us as the right places to be. So know that they are good places when we go there, high energy places.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love you. And Tracy, how can they find you? Because we got to go.
TracyMahan.com. You guys have been finding me, and thank you. I love you all. Thank you.
Love you, everyone. And thank you, Tamara. And good night, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.